You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 363 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine Monday evening, and plenty to get to in Atlanta Hawks land, although most of today's podcast will be focused on the future as the NCAA tournament's first weekend is not over. I wanted to touch on a little bit of NBA draft stuff and this little bit of a lull for the Hawks. Of course, they go on the road for five consecutive games. Actually, it's a six-game road trip, but the Hawks came home after their game against Milwaukee on Saturday. They left earlier today on Monday to go on this five-game West Coast swing, and the first game will be on Tuesday against the Utah Jazz. We'll touch on that game. Obviously as sort of the first point that we get to here, and that is the fact that John Collins, who left the game on Saturday against Milwaukee with a left ankle sprain, has been ruled out for the game on Tuesday. On the bright side, he did travel with the team to Salt Lake City. There's pictures of him from the Hawks official social media accounts. So he is in. He's definitely in Salt Lake City, although he's not going to play here. But that does provide some optimism for the near future, considering there's just no reason for him to travel for this trip if he was not going to play on the trip. No official update beyond the game on Tuesday, but What we know at the moment is that Collins is not going to play in that game. By the way, the rest of the absences are repeaters, but still worth noting. You know, Kate Bazemore's out for the season. DeAndre Bembry's still out with the abdominal strain. Antonius Cleveland out with left ankle surgery. Malcolm Delaney's still out with his left ankle issue. And that Jalen Morris, also left ankle issue. All those guys are out for this game. So the Hawks will be missing six players on Tuesday. No surprises there aside from Collins. And even then, I was kind of banking on him missing at least one game with how it looked on Saturday. So hopefully he'll be back in the near future. After Tuesday's game against the Jazz, the Hawks head to Sacramento to take on the Kings. And what should be a very interesting game on NBA TV, actually, on Thursday night late. That could be a game that the Hawks could have him back in. And then on Friday, the Hawks will have the Warriors in a back-to-back set. And while that may not sound particularly appetizing, the Warriors are missing a lot of players due to injury right now, so that actually could be a pretty competitive game on Friday. So just something to point out and keep an eye on there. You know, hopefully it's not a long-term issue for Collins, but he'll be out for a little bit here, and we'll keep an eye on him in the future. Moving right along to the rest of the podcast, again, as I mentioned before, it focused on the NCAA tournament. This first little section is going to be on the lottery and just sort of the way that things break down. Not a ton of changes, I will say, from the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. You don't want to overreact. Part of doing the NBA draft evaluation is not overreacting to one or two game sample size, and you want to look at sort of the whole big picture and sort of evaluate that. So please be advised, this is not me overreacting to one or two games over the weekend. But my current board is pretty interesting in a lot of ways. Obviously, the Hawks have three first-round picks, most likely, one at the top, and then the other two in the 20s, and potentially even 30 with the Houston Rockets. So some flexibility here, but the one lottery picks could, of course, be the focus of things. And at the top of the draft, I still have a two-player top tier with Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton. Ayton was not great in Arizona's opening loss. I do not blame him. I saw some blame going his way. I was not going to be going to that way. I'd love to see him playing more center. He played a lot of power forward in college. I do not like that at all because he's definitely a center. You know, with Marvin Bagley, who we'll get to in a second, there's at least the thought that he could be a power forward, at least at times at the next level. With Ayton, he is absolutely going to be a center, and I was frustrated beyond measure to see him playing with another traditional big basically at all times for Arizona. But with that said, those two are still pretty much in a clear tier above for me. I'm higher on Doncic than some. I think a lot of, especially more casual Hawks fans that have not seen Luka Doncic a lot this season, or really at all, probably just see the fact that he's a European wing. And, you know, that's one of those things they're probably going to write him off right away. But with Ayton and Doncic, I think there's probably in a different class than everybody else. Ayton's ceiling is immense. Doncic is very safe. I think he also has a high ceiling, though. So I think one of the misconceptions about him is that he's this some low ceiling player. I don't really see that. I think he's a good athlete. He's long. Basically, more than anything for me, wings have so much upside in today's NBA. You want to have at least one or two of those guys that can create their own offense. And, you know, Ayton, 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, I think Ayton would have been an absolute lock, no doubt number one pick as a traditional sort of, freak athlete kind of monster productive center. That's still a guy who could be very productive because he is a super athlete and can certainly move on the perimeter. With that said, I think Doncic in today's NBA might be a little bit more of a translating factor. And if you have to break a tie through the Hawks, I think, you know, if all things are equal, and this is something that I would not be doing if I was the Hawks unless everything was actually equal. But if you have to actually break that kind of tie, I'll go with the wing over the big for the Hawks that really only have one premium asset on their roster, and that is John Collins. So moving on from that top two, I will go with Jaren Jackson from Michigan State, Marvin Bagley, Mo Bamba. Mikal Bridges is the big surprise, I think, for a lot of people. But I have him at number six overall. Michael Porter Jr., Wendell Carter, Colin Sexton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Miles Bridges, Trae Young, and Daniel Gafford. The other big surprise there, of course, is Trae Young falling outside of the top 10 for me. I think Young, sort of the book's gotten out on him a little bit. I don't want to overreact. I still think he's a quality pick, and it would not surprise me at all if he went in the top 7 or 8. With that said, I think the issues with him are real. Young, for me, at least from a Hawks perspective, I wouldn't be reaching for a point guard necessarily unless I absolutely had to, but the defensive questions are real for him. I think that's going to be a concern his entire NBA career, frankly. He just doesn't have the kind of makeup offensively that you want to see in a lot of ways. Defensively in a lot of ways. And offensively, you know, the shooting is real, the passing is real, but everything else, sort of the decision-making, I'm not 100% sure on. I think you certainly saw him sort of slink away a little bit with the attention being placed on him with high-level athletes at the NBA level. I think it's going to be a little bit of a concern that he won't be able to do just as much as he was doing early on when he was absolutely, you know, lighting the world on fire early in the college season. It was against a lot of teams that were not as athletic as he is, you know, and he was still, by the way, he was still very good in conference play. It wasn't as if he absolutely disappeared, but there's a reason why he's slipping a little bit, and that is one of the reasons for that. Without getting too deep into it, there's still plenty of time for me to talk about Trae Young, but I think that'll be the biggest surprise that I have him a little bit lower, as well as Michael Porter Jr. behind Mikal Bridges. Real quickly on that, I think Bridges is fantastic. I think he's so much safer as an NBA prospect than Porter. That does not mean he has a higher upside, because he doesn't. I think Porter's upside is considerably higher than Bridges. With that said, I think there's pretty much no way Mikal Bridges is not an NBA rotation player based on what I can see. You know, a 3-and-D guy at the very least. I think he has upside beyond that. But his shooting stroke is pure. He really defends already, has great length. And with Porter, I think he looked really bad in his two games that I saw. Obviously, I've seen him a lot before that, so this is not a situation where Porter doesn't have any tape to go on. He was around the high school AAU circuit for a long time. He's going to be a guy who's well-known by evaluators, but at the same time, he did himself no favors with the way he played at Missouri in his very, very limited time there. But more than anything, there was an ESPN report from Jonathan Givony that cited some makeup concerns with Porter, and if you combine those two things, I think there's probably a rest be for him to fall a little bit here based on the way that he looked, and with that, if there's any concern at all about his demeanor and the way that he's going to be making up at the next level, that's definitely something you want to raise a red flag about. Although I will certainly count on the fact that I don't have any insight on that necessarily. I'm just going off what other people are saying, because that's the nature of the beast when you are this far away from the process. Otherwise, I guess the other concerns slash surprises would be that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a fast riser, to be sure. I think he's probably a lottery pick at this point in time, the Kentucky combo guard. I think point guard-wise, he's a very interesting player. I'm not sure he's a pure point guard in the NBA level, but has great size. You know, he's 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in there. Good playmaker, and I think on the ball, that's a guy who was impressed a lot. I think he also has the opportunity to show off his skills for the rest of the way in the NCAA tournament. While that's not always a great thing in terms of evaluation, we've seen guys rocket up the boards like last year. Even Zach Collins went from probably a top 20 pick to a top 10 pick with the way he played in the tournament. That could happen with Gilgeous-Alexander as well, and that's something to keep an eye on in the future. Aside from that top 10 or so, I think Daniel Gafford and Robert Williams would be the two guys I'd watch in terms of just their upside in the next couple of weeks and months. You know, Gafford's already out of the tournament, but a physical freak that's going to just dominate the NBA combine, and Robert Williams has additional time to make an impact in the NCAA tournament. He'll take on Michigan in the Sweet 16, and he's been having a very good postseason performance with Texas A&M. So before we get into a couple of more guys that I want to keep an eye on in the future for the Hawks that are probably outside the top 10 or 15, I do want to talk to you about the good folks at mybookie.ag. It's time talking about the boatload of money that you'll be making this week by betting at MyBookie. If you haven't checked them out yet, this is the perfect time to get into action, because the madness of March is absolutely here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players to start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come and join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and that's why I would urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay fast without any particular hassle. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off, and that can be very, very interesting in the world of March Madness. You can join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with up to a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge, although it's one of those things where that's one of those things that's going to be interesting, because the bracket's, of course, upside down at this point, but something still a very interesting, appealing offer to check out there. And you can use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer and check out that promo code. So visit MyBookie today. You play, you win, and you get paid. And it's the best time of the year to join up with MyBookie. So thanks to them for sponsoring today's podcast. We can move on to the rest of the preview portion of the pod in terms of the rest of the way here. a lot to take in the rest of the tournament, just because of the fact that I think there's a lot of upside to be gained in the end of the first round if you want to look for it. And beyond that, I think it's one of those things where there's some safety and you want to get some rotation players. So it's sometimes a calculation of what you were actually looking for if you're the Atlanta Hawks at this point in time. I do think that there's sort of a divide as to you guys you're going to be looking for upside-wise versus safety-wise. I think there's guys that you can see the rest of the NCAA tournament that have upside. Your Zaire Smiths, even Trayvon Duval, your Bob Williams, as I mentioned a second ago, Robert Williams, even Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga. Those guys are on one tier, whereas you have the safe late first, early second round picks. You have Javon Carter, Jalen Brunson, Devontae Graham, Grayson Allen. Even Killian Tilly from Gonzaga, lots to focus on there. I do think, though, one guy I meant to mention a second ago was Miles Bridges, who was maddening this season. I think he's probably going to be somewhere in the top, 10 to 12 picks, but there is a chance that he could fall a little bit based on some skepticism about his game. I think he's a great athlete and probably projects better to the NBA level than he did at Michigan State, but wasn't a great last impression for him, so he could drop a little bit. I wanted to at least throw that out there in the near future. As for some matchups to watch the rest of the week here, this will be the last NCAA tournament podcast that I do before the Sweet 16 takes place, so just mark this on your calendar if you want to watch from a Hawks perspective. When West Virginia plays Villanova, that's a battle of two probably top 40 guys for me, with Javon Carter of West Virginia and Jalen Brunson of Villanova. Neither guy is expected to go probably into the top 25, but Carter is a defensive monster that has a little bit of offensive punch as well, a little bit of an older guy, but still somebody that I like as a role player in the NBA because of his defense. And Brunson is that pure point guard prospect, super safe. I think he profiles as a backup in the NBA because of his lack of upside. But if you're the Hawks in the early second round and you don't have a point guard in the first round, it could be appetizing to go out and grab Brunson as a safety valve option in the early second round pick with somewhere in that 35 range. Also, Texas Tech takes on Purdue. Purdue doesn't have a ton of prospects, but Texas Tech has Zaire Smith, a defense first sort of high upside guy who's probably going to be somewhere in the late first round. I think he's very, very raw, but if the Hawks are looking for upside and with their player development program, they could be certainly targeting him as someone that could probably turn into an offensive force. If they could do that, he becomes a very, very intriguing prospect. Elsewhere, Kansas takes on Clemson in Sweet 16. That's Devontae Graham would be the guy you're watching for there from Kansas. Again, sort of in the same way as Brunson, probably an early second round guy. He's more of a combo guard. His jump shot is real, and I think as an NBA player, he's probably going to be one. It's just kind of what you think of him as a projectable piece. I think he's probably going to be a bench guard, maybe a third guard, ideally, at the NBA level, but there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever in the early second round. Moving on from there, you can get into a couple of other guys. Grayson Allen and Trayvon Duval from Duke will be taking on Syracuse. Sort of tough to read because of Syracuse's junk zone. They play that 2-3 zone, but Grayson Allen's shooting could be very interesting in that matchup. I think I've long thought he could be somewhere in that top 35 to 40 range as a prospect because of his shooting. He might be the best shooter in the draft. Frankly, he's definitely on the very short list of that. You know, there's some concerns there with some makeup stuff. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a good athlete, can really shoot it. It's something to keep an eye on. And Trayvon Duval has been falling all season long, but a high upside point guard, if he could put it all together. He's a very, very good athlete, and he could be available in that Hawks range if he were to declare and come out and probably land in the late first round, maybe early second round as well. Two more games to hit on. Texas A&M faces Michigan in the next round. That's Robert Williams against Mo Wagner. Wagner's probably going to be a second-round pick if he leaves for Michigan, so a little bit less inspiring, but he's sort of a Hawksy big man. He's very skilled, not a great defensive player by any means, but he's definitely improved in that way and has some tendencies that Mike Budenholzer would definitely like. You know, he's not the guy making picks anymore with the Travis Schlenk era on in full, but Wagner could be a very Hawksy guy in the second round. And more importantly, Bob Williams, I mentioned before, Robert Williams is a physical freak, monster, combo 4-5 kind of guy up front. Not the most skilled guy in the world, but he was putting on a show in the early rounds of the NCAA tournament, and someone you could definitely see rocking up draft boards. As I mentioned before, him and Daniel Gafford are those physical freak big men in the middle of the second round that could certainly be rising in a hurry. Last but not least, Gonzaga takes on Florida State. Gonzaga has two guys that are sort of off the radar. Rui Hachimura is a fast-rising guy. I think he probably won't declare just yet, but if he has a big rest of the tournament, he could declare and land in the first round. A high upside, sort of very risky kind of player, but you can definitely see the talent there. More importantly, for my purposes with the Hawks, though, is Killian Tilly. I think he's going to be a late first round pick. Super safe in terms of his defensive acumen. He's a shooter as well. Definitely a role player at the NBA level. Doesn't have huge upside, but if you're looking for if the Hawks were to take some flyers with their either their early pick or one of their late round picks, one of the advantages to taking to having four picks in the top 40 probably is that you could take some combination of high upside and high floor guys. Tilly's definitely more on the high floor version, but if you want to take a look at him, I think you probably want to look beyond his the way that he actually looks. He sort of looks like this this gangly raw guy from the West Coast, but Tilly is a sort of a he's very lengthy, he's very skilled, and he's a good athlete as well. I think you probably would sleep on him if you just saw him in a layup line, but just watching him, if you want to play, you can definitely see what I mean, and you can certainly see him landing in the top 35 or 40 picks in the draft. So, a lot to take in there, of course, but the NBA draft is definitely fast rising. And before we get to a lot of games this week, the Hawks, again, being the fact that they're on the road, there's going to be a lot of game recaps in the next couple of days. So I want to take a little bit of a break from that, check out some more NBA draft stuff, at least evaluate. And, of course, you know, some of the top guys are still involved in the tournament. You have, you know, Ayton and Jackson are gone, but you still have Bagley, you still have Mikal Bridges, you still have Wendell Carter, who's the top 10 guy, probably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's going to be a probable lottery pick. There's still some guys to, you know, Robert Williams, there's still some guys to evaluate the rest of the way, even if the first weekend was not particularly kind to NBA draft prospects, with Ayton and Jackson and Bamba and Porter and Colin Sexton all going away, and Miles Bridges all going away in the early strength. So if you're an NBA draft fan, that probably hurts your soul a little bit towards the NCAA tournament, but there's still plenty to take in, and I wanted to at least give you some guys late in the first round to watch this weekend. So thanks as always for listening to the podcast, everybody. Our next podcast is going to be wrapping up the game on Tuesday night against the Jazz, in which the Hawks are going to be facing a brick wall. And, you know, Utah's defense is the best in the league right now, so a pretty high a pretty tall wall to climb, I will say, for the Hawks playing without Bazemore and Collins in that spot offensively. It's going to be tough to generate points, but with the way that Torian Prince is playing, maybe he can get cooking and keep the Hawks involved in the game. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you guys on Wednesday morning, and enjoy the rest of your day.